What's up, Dub Nation? This is the We Believe Golden State Warriors basketball podcast, a sports ethos presentation. Sam Orlick here. Coming at you post-game, Warriors and Spurs. Warriors dropping 126-113 to San Antonio. This now caps off a 1-3 week for the Warriors. Again, blown out in Boston, blew out the Bucks, but then losing at home to the Bulls and Spurs back to back. Warriors are now 33-30. They're back in the 10th seed with just 19 games left to go. Meanwhile, we got some good news on Stephen Curry. MRI did not show significant damage. Curry is expected to be reevaluated on Tuesday and hopefully return soon. Might even be as soon as that Wednesday game against Dallas Mavericks, which would obviously be really important for playoff seeding purposes, or the following matchup against the Lakers on Saturday. Would not expect him, or, you know, he's already been ruled out for Monday's game rematch against the Spurs in San Antonio. In other news, GP2 would be a late scratch for the game tonight, out for illness. And man, Peyton just seems like he cannot catch a break, whether it's getting injured or getting sick. He seemingly seesaws in and out of the lineup all season long. Certainly felt like a game we could have used his energy and intensity, and more importantly, his defense. Warriors could not get a stop for their life. Again, you know, outscored 126-113 was the final. And this is a Spurs team with no Victor Wembanyama or Devin Vassell. Basically, their two leading scorers in the starting unit. Warriors had more than enough talent and firepower and players available to win this game against a very bad San Antonio team, as far as the record shows. Obviously, Greg Popovich, you know, loves to come in against the Warriors, and he's very familiar with our offense and our sets, our strengths and weaknesses. His guys, you know, have a chip on their shoulder, and clearly it showed. Warriors were outworked, out-hustled, out-executed in just about every category in the first half. This Warriors team did not show intentionality and didn't come ready to go. They did not seem like a team that was eager to impose their will on a young San Antonio Spurs team. Kuminga started this game 1-for-4, settling for jumpers, looking hesitant to drive and attack the paint, making Zach Collins look like some type of elite shot blocker, which he simply just wasn't. And then meanwhile, because of the Warriors' inability to score offensively, Spurs got out in transition early. They got a lot of wide open looks from three, despite being one of the worst three-point shooting teams on the season. They've been better, as Kalena and Bob just repeatedly reminded us throughout the broadcast, since the All-Star break. But you get outscored by 21 points on threes, and a lot of that was because you gave up wide-open threes early in the game. You're giving the likes of Jeremy Sochan and Keldon Johnson, who are like sub 35% three-point shooters, but you give them wide open looks, a couple of, you know, you knock down a couple, you feel really good, you feel confident, and then anything goes, right? Throw out all the numbers and statistics, right? Very similar to the Jaylen Brown experiment in Boston. You need to ensure that you're closing out on guys, right? Not overdo it, not foul them, and not close out to the point that you're giving up wide open layups, but also not dare guys to shoot who still can make it. And have awareness of when you're helping off of shooters, that you're not giving up wide open looks in the corner. And so it just felt like another one of those quintessential Warriors performances where you can drum up all the statistics and numbers about the opposition and how bad they're shooting, and these guys are having career nights, but it just always seems to happen against the Warriors that, you know, whoever it is comes into Chase Center and has a career night or shoots, you know, well above their career or season averages, whatever it is. And so tonight was no different. Beyond the three-pointers, you were out-rebounded by the Spurs, 55-49. The Warriors have been one of the best rebounding teams offensively, defensively, total rebounds on the season. It didn't show tonight. Thankfully, turnovers, you know, basically held in check, 12 and 12 between the Warriors and the Spurs. And then free throws made, 21-21. Warriors attempted one more, I believe, than the Spurs. 20 Warriors attempted 28, Spurs 29, or sorry, Warriors 29, Spurs 28. So it wasn't like, I don't know, just you can't really pinpoint this on one thing per se, but it certainly felt like, you know, for the Spurs, you look at their box score, they had nearly five guys score 20. Julian Champagne, 17, Jeremy Sochan, 20, Malachi had 20, Keldon Johnson had 22 off the bench, Dominic Barlow had 19 off the bench. Very balanced attack. And basically anyone who played for the Spurs had a net positive plus minus. Meanwhile, for the Warriors, basically everyone who played had a minus except for Klay Thompson, who led the Warriors with 27. Klay had a very good game all around on both ends of the floor. Did not make a lot of mistakes. 8 of 16 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3, 6 of 6 from the line. Couple rebounds, an assist, a block. Played very well. Did all of that in about 25 minutes. And then Jonathan Kuminga, he ended up with 26, 10 of 17 from the field. Kuminga, though, was really hoping he'd do more in this game. Basically, no shot blocker. I mentioned a little bit earlier that Kuminga was really tentative early in this game, and he didn't really have much of an impact until the second half and the fourth quarter. Kuminga had like 11 points coming into the fourth quarter and then finished with 26. So he got really aggressive late in this game, but it was too little too late. And it really felt like the Warriors did not impose their will on this Spurs team. They didn't take advantage, get into the paint. You shot 10 of 30 from three, where the Spurs were 17 of 33. You're taking all these threes. It's not like the Spurs were going into zone. It's not like they were packing the paint. They weren't necessarily daring the Warriors to take all of these threes. The Warriors just continued to bomb from three. And it was kind of a little bit of everyone, not named, you know, other than Klay Thompson, who again was 5 of 10. Draymond was 1 for 3. Pods was 1 for 1. Moody was 0 for 6. Wiggins was 1 for 3. Quiñones 0 for 2. Kuminga 0 for 1. Just nobody had it going from outside other than Klay Thompson and shots at the rim. So very disappointing. And, Moses Moody, I felt like this was a great opportunity for Moody to continue to show out, right? No GP2, no Steph Curry. He's getting minutes now, kind of coming off of those really pivotal wins against Toronto and New York. But Moody, minus 9 in 26 minutes. He only had 9 points, 2 of 11 from the field, 5 of 6 from the line. But he basically scored 7 points in 5 minutes, where he did make an impact during that stretch. He got a bunch of rebounds, a bunch of hustle plays. He put his head down, drove to the basket, drew fouls, got to the free throw line, knocked down his shots, made a couple layups. But it felt like Kuminga should have been doing that. Podziemski should have been doing that. Wiggins should have been doing that. Like, you had 3, 4, 5 guys on this team who all should have had the same mentality of drive into the paint, draw fouls, get easy shots. And it felt like instead the Warriors were trying to hit a bunch of jumpers and they just weren't falling. There wasn't enough of a recognition of that. There wasn't enough adjustment. And then defensively, just a lack of effort and connectivity in identifying shooters and contesting shots. And at the point that the game, you know, is a 19-point game at halftime, the Warriors obviously taking a little bit of a hit on their pride, come out in the second half with some energy and intensity. They cut the thing to 9 at one point with the ball and a chance to, cut it to 6 or 7. Instead, it was a couple bad shot selection, bad shots taken. Spurs come down, hit a 3. Spurs come down, hit a 3, get a layup, and it's back up to 16. And just like that. So just did not feel like the Warriors, took this game seriously. It kind of felt like they walked into this thing expecting to win and thought that the game was just going to be handed to them. The refereeing was just atrocious the entire game. I felt like the refs, on several occasions just made, very questionable calls, but I didn't felt like that was the difference in the game. This wasn't a one possession game when everything's said and done. And the ref certainly didn't help the Spurs shoot 17 threes or make 17 threes. That was the Warriors doing. So, certainly can't pin this one on the refs. You got no one to blame but yourselves. And, overall, it was a very disappointing effort and product that the Warriors put out on the floor. Steve Kerr went, with kind of an interesting starting lineup of Chris Paul, Pajetski, Kuminga, Draymond, and Trayce Jackson-Davis. So no Moody, no Wiggins, and no Klay Thompson in the starting lineup, which had a lot of people suspect and questionable where the offense is going to come from, and it certainly wasn't good early. Obviously, Klay got going right off the bat when he checked in off the bench. Kerr made an adjustment of starting Klay over Trayce Jackson-Davis in the second half. Didn't really feel like that, again, had anything to do, per se, with the outcome of this game, because the guys who were on the floor, both starters and guys off the bench in that first half, did not show much life at all. And that includes Andrew Wiggins, who, in the first two games since coming back from his personal absence, played about 15 minutes. Tonight he played 26, 5 of 12 from the field, which was third on the team in field goals attempted. One of three from three, but that make came basically, in the last few minutes of the game when the game was kind of out of reach. 6 rebounds, an assist, and a steal, 11 points on the night. Just didn't really feel like a great night from Wiggins either. So again, you have the Spurs basically playing, not basically, Spurs playing without two of their starters, a lottery bound team that's, got like 13 wins on the season. And then meanwhile, for the Warriors, you've got, rising, developing stars in Kuminga and proven two-way players and Thompson and Wiggins and Chris Paul and Moses Moody, Jackson Davis, Draymond Green, like more than enough to win this thing out, outright, not a big contest, not a big deal. And you put up a clunker where you only score 16 points in the second quarter, make the Spurs look like an elite defensive team. You're just not going to win. Just not going to win games like that. Doesn't matter who you play. So, obviously, very disappointing. Not at all what the Warriors wanted. You have, again, that very impressive bounce back shellacking of the Milwaukee Bucks after being blown out in Boston. But then you lose back-to-back home games against the Bulls and the Spurs in two games in which really they should have won. So now you're back in the 10th seed. You're half a game or a game behind the Lakers in the ninth, who are ninth. And you got 19 games left. So, there's still games to do it. There's still games to get back into this thing and try and move up a little bit. The sixth seed you know, continues to become more and more out of reach every time that they lose, especially if you lose games like you did tonight against the Spurs. And it's disappointing because coming into the game against Chicago, the Warriors were 19-3 against sub 500 teams. The three losses being against the Memphis Grizzlies, the Toronto Raptors, and the Atlanta Hawks. Now they're 19-5. Basically, you know, you lost to the Bulls and the Spurs, and now you're going to face the Spurs again on Monday without Steph Curry. Maybe, you know, GP2 will be back by then, but also the Spurs might get Wembanyama and Devin Vassell back. Two of their starters. What's that game going to look like when you've got, 8-foot wingspan, rim protector, you know, perennial center, rookie of the year, candidate on the floor. So Warriors not doing themselves any favors, shooting themselves in the foot for sure. But I haven't given up hope on this team. Far from it. Again, you're in the 10th seed. You're in the play-in. You got 19 games left to try and climb your way up a little bit. Maybe the 7th seed. Maybe the 8th seed. Would be far from ideal to end up as the 10th seed. Have to go into the play-in, win two games in the play-in just to finish with the 8th spot, to maybe have to go up against the Nuggets or something like that. So far from ideal, but this is the NBA. Nothing's going to come easy. There's no free games. Even the worst teams are hungry to prove that they belong, and young guys are out there fighting for their NBA careers. And you can't take anything easy. So, I'm a little disappointed in, you know, Kuminga and Moody, who I felt like really had something to prove here in this game and an opportunity to shine. Obviously, you know, Kuminga finished with 26, but again, I feel like Kuminga should have had 40 if he had the same mentality in the second half as he did. If he brought that mentality in the second half into the tip-off, easily could have had 40 points in this game. Nobody could stop him. He was getting line drives to the rim. It could have been a parade to the foul line. So I applaud him for the second half adjustment, right? That he didn't, you know, end the game with like a stinker, you know, sub 10 point kind of performance. But that's what the Warriors are going to need, right? It's so hard because Steph Curry is such this incredible generational talent, so much gravity, but you also need to understand and learn how to play without him on the floor. You got to be able to win games with or without, right? And you got to be able to step up, and guys need to be able to do that for this team to be able to take the next step. So certainly disappointing, opportunity missed, plug in whatever, you know, the thesaurus adjectives you'd like, you go play this team again in San Antonio on Monday and hopefully have a more appropriate result with the win, and then get some good news on Tuesday that you get a healthy Steph Curry ready to roll and face the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday. So season's far from over. I'm certainly not writing this team off, but you got a long way to go if you want to make some noise in the playoffs and set yourselves up for some, opportunity to do something in the postseason. And once again, this has been a We Believe Golden State Warriors basketball podcast. If you haven't already, please give me a follow over at Twitter. That's at @SWarlick. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Catch you on the next one.